Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Welcome to Let's Get Busy. I'm Matthew Winner. Joining me on the podcast today is Sarah O'Leary, author of This Is Sadie, a beautiful picture book illustrated by Julie Morstad that came out earlier this year. It's one, in fact, that we all love so much at All the Wonders that we're calling it our feature for this month. All the Wonders of This Is Sadie. You should head over to allthewonders.com and see the wonderful things that we're sharing. It's a book about a girl who lives in her imagination, and it's a celebration of imagination itself, of seeing opportunity all around you, of seeing it's not just a box, it's something more. It's not just a tree limb, it's not just a staircase. It's all opportunity for some greater play. The book itself is all about a girl named Sadie and all the wonderful things that she imagines. But of course, as you read this book, you can't help but imagine some other things for yourself as well, and for those little ones that you're playing with. I've been playing with my little ones over the past couple days as we've been snowed in, but the blizzard that hit Maryland is nothing compared to the great time I've had with my family, with my daughter, with my son, with playing in the snow, imagining snow kings living in snow castles and being attacked. We've fended them off, those enemies of ours, with our snowballs and our snow cannons and all the other ways that we can defend ourselves, and it has been wonderful. I hope you all have been safe too, and I hope you join me here for episode 230 of the Let's Get Busy podcast as we celebrate imagination with Sarah O'Leary. Let's get busy. Welcome to the Let's Get Busy podcast, Sarah O'Leary. I am so excited to get to talk to you tonight.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you, Matthew, because I know you are busy.
I'm a little too busy, but I will say, it's one of those, like, my enthusiasm has made me busy, which is always a fun thing, because then I get busy with things that I'm really excited about. And speaking of which, one of the things I'm busiest with right now is All the Wonders, which I know that you're aware of, but...
Oh, I'm very aware. I've been following you guys, and I think it's fantastic.
Well, I was so excited to have you on there with our best of the year list. That This Is Sadie is personally my favorite picture book of the year. I can't even tell you I will attempt in the next 30 minutes to tell you how much I love this book, but Sarah,
that's really nice. I think it's my favorite picture book of the year too, coincidentally.
It's lovely, and this is you and Julie. I know you've worked with Julie Morstad before, but she, my word, is she a gift to children's literature? She's just outstanding.
She's fantastic, isn't she? I love Julie, and Julie and I have been working together for just about a decade now, which seems bizarre. We started together. Our first picture book together was the first picture book for each of us. And so, you know, I think we've really kind of figured out how to do this thing together.
Oh, wow. You debuted together. Then you did. You've grown up in picture books together,
yeah,
as it were.
Right. Yeah. And so I love working with Julie. And this book has been different from the others in that it really was collaborative. It really went back and forth a lot. And changed a lot in the process, and I learned a lot and loved it, you know, really enjoyed working with her more than ever.
Okay, so Sadie has been out since May, correct?
Yeah.
So can I invite you, please, to share a book talk, as it were, of This Is Sadie. You've had time now to visit schools to get it down. I can't wait to hear how you share what This Is Sadie is all about.
What is This Is Sadie all about? my favorite response so far to the book, and there've been, you know, really wonderful, really nice ones. But my favorite one was a friend who I showed it to early on, who sort of clasped it to her bosom and said, "You wrote this book just for me." And I think that's exactly what you want. You want people to think, this book is for me, this book is about me, this book is, you know, what I needed. And so to get that response ever at all is, you know, a gift. It's a real gift.
I think that that is an amazing sentiment, because that is something that also echoes with me when I read it too. I love that here we have this girl, Sadie, that in the beginning is not in a box, we'll have you know, but rather she's imagining up all sorts of things, and she's busy creating and building this world for herself and seeing herself in all of these different stories. I think it's an absolutely beautiful and charming story, and I think that that comes both from what your words have brought to the story and also what hand in hand what Julie's art has done. I love different moments in this, such as I love even just the nuance of going from her being a girl who lived under the sea. It says, well, here, let me just read. I'm going to read to you. Can I read to you? I'm sure you can hear the flapping of pages in the background. Why not just read straight to you? So the start of the book, I should say, is this is Sadie. No, not that. That's a box. Sadie is inside the box. Wait, do you hear? Sadie says she's not inside the box at all. "I'm on an enormous boat," she says, "crossing a wide, wide sea." And I'll pick up partway through where it says, "Sadie has been a girl who lived under the sea. Sadie has been a boy, or she has been a boy raised by wolves. Sadie has had adventures in Wonderland, and she has played the hero in the world of fairy tales." I like, Sarah, that this is a girl whose imagination knows no limits, but also, I guess just to call it out, this is a girl that has no problem with being a boy.
She has no problem with being whoever she wants to be.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, fantastically liberating, the idea that you can. And to me, that's what books do. You know, that's the idea that by reading a story, you become that character, to me is an utter, you know, step into freedom. You can be whoever you want to be. And if you want to be the hero, you can be the hero. Why not?
Okay, so this voice that you have in this story, I need to jump right to it. You had said to how special this story was to you upon writing it, but how did this story come to you in this way, Sarah, that it just feels so perfectly like a universal story that's meant to say, hey, you kid, you are capable of amazing things. Just believe it, because here's a kid just like you doing amazing things.
How did it come to be that? That's an interesting question. I think one of the aspects of writing this story was very much wanting to find a strong female character.
Okay.
You know, and wanting to find an equivalent for Max in Where the Wild Things Are, I think,
yes,
was important to me. Because people talk about boy books and girl books and all this sort of stuff, and there's a lot of it now, and it bothers me because I thought I was Max. You know, I had no problem being Max. And so I wanted to find a way to make a character who was female, who had that same sort of, openness that you could identify with, you know, whether you're male or female or 5 or 50 or, you know, any of those things, that there was just sort of room within that character for the reader to find themselves.
Room within the character. To hear you say it, to hear you say whether you're 5 or 50 or however old, really, it reaffirms for me how well you know this story that you're dealing with here, and perhaps how well you know yourself. I feel like this story is what it is, probably because you are the person that you are. I have a feeling that you are the warm and gentle and encouraging soul that I feel like Sadie is.
Well, that's the nicest thing anybody said to me all day. I think people often ask me if Sadie is me, and she's really not. She's separate from me. She's like one of my children in the way that my books are like children to me as well. She's a creation of mine, and that means, you know, that she wasn't just mine. She's mine, and she's Julie's, and she's Tara Walker, who's the editor on this book, who had a huge impact on the story. All of us sort of had a part in making this this child, this character, who's, you know, oddly real to me now, you know, without being sort of fey or, you know, peculiar about it. Sadie, you know, has taken on a life of her own since the book came out.
I think that I might have said this to you on Twitter, but I think that I'm just going to say it to you up front now. I think that this book to me feels like it was pulled from a Wes Anderson movie. And I mean that in a really beautiful, wonderful way. I'm picturing like The Royal Tenenbaums or a book like that, where the thing I value and respect of Wes Anderson in the way that he directs film and writes movie scripts is that I always feel like his characters are so fully realized that they could walk off the screen and just be a person in your neighborhood. As quirky as they might be, there's something real wherever
they're
rooted.
Well, and he's such a world builder. Like, his films are so full, you know?
Yes.
The suitcase that opens up and it's full of all these books and you want to be inside,
yes,
you know, the story so that you can open those books for yourselves and read them. I think Julie's creation of the world that Sadie inhabits is fantastic because it's so small and so contained, you know, within that room, but it also is enormous. You know, there's room within that for all these things, all these sort of fantasies, you know, the swimming pool that becomes a book and the, you know, all of that stuff is there somehow. And so I think there's that element. I think that's what you're sort of leaning towards with talking about the comparison to Wes Anderson.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't just limit it to her illustration, but for sure that's a key to it. I think that the playfulness in the text with the way the illustration meets our eyes does that work really well. I also have to say how much I love your book trailer, your book teaser trailer with the montage of other children just playing and being children.
Well, that was made by my in-house Wes Anderson. And my son, who's 15 now, is an aspiring filmmaker and has been making animations and films for quite some time. And so he volunteered to do that for me. And it was fantastic. We got people to send in clips of their kids, and I just loved it.
I love the idea of having a 15-year-old son and then saying that he's been making films for quite some time.
Yes. That's
amazing.
Really has.
I don't doubt it. My 5-year-old we've been making videos for YouTube where he talks about building different things of Lego.
Well, this generation is growing up with a different sort of sense of the world, you know, being, you know, immediate to them because it's right there. They can, you know, set up their own YouTube channel and start talking to people, and it's fantastic. It's interesting.
Is right there.
Yeah.
I loved in the videos that were submitted to you, there's one just of this town, and you see the girl's feet just like walking through this town.
I know, isn't that fantastic?
Moments
destroyer
like,
of
I know.
And she's the sweetest little girl. She's the daughter of my friend Stephanie Allenbach, who's also a children's book writer. She wrote a book called If I Wrote a Book About You, which I really love. And Sylvie was, you know, happy to be part of this whole enterprise, so that was nice.
Yeah, I've seen many a thing on social media from you in support of This Is Sadie that I think just matches the tone so well of this story. It just seems like a book that deserves to be celebrated over and over and brought up over and over in that way. I mean, I have to imagine that your school visits, or I guess I should say like bookstore signings, have had that fun of the different crafts that I've seen, the kits that Tundra has put together, whomever it put together, things like that.
The art kit that they made for this Isadi is fantastic. You can make your own bunting, you can make your own, you know, fox mask and all these things. And so, you know, I make up fox masks and take them out to events, and looking back at all these little faces looking back at me with their little Sadie masks on, it's just the biggest kick. I absolutely love it.
that cover too, to have, do we see Sadie ever again with that fox mask? Is it just on the jacket?
The cover was the very last thing that we did. And I have, you know, the roughs that Julie did of all these different ideas for the cover, but we didn't want to see Sadie because of the way the story opens.
Okay.
But Sadie's concealed. We're trying to find a way to put Sadie on the cover and conceal her at the same time. At one point, she had a paper bag over her head, like Charlie Brown. But it kind of looked sad.
Oh.
So we didn't use that one. It's so like, the fox mask came in really late. The foxes were there throughout the story all along.
Yes, I saw yes.
Sadie is the fox mother, you know, of these fox kittens, sort of led to the idea of the mask. And so the concealment and then the fox babies came together and we got the fox mask, which I love. It's so beautiful.
I think it's wonderful. And to have a jacket that... Well, any of these books that have jackets that are different from the book beneath is sort of a fun thing, often because you don't get to see it in the library because they bind the jackets too.
Yeah.
But it is such a neat thing to have, in this case, the exact same image, just with a mask over top of Sadie. It almost feels like... Okay, so...
It's a nice little surprise.
Well, I was gonna say,
and you know, there are kids that are going to take things apart and... Those are the kids that I love. And so they're going to take the jacket off, and there's the reward for taking the jacket off is they see Sadie revealed.
Well, and
that was the original cover. That's what we started from, was that cover. And then we added in the fox mask. And actually, we added in at the very last, my son noticed that the fox, the little fox, was missing from the cover image. And so it was added in at the end as well.
Ah, yes. I was going to say too, though, that it also feels like after you get to know Sadie, then you can take the jacket off and know that you know her. There's just a lot of things like that. It just works on a lot of different levels. It really is a beautiful book. And
the book is really well designed, apart from everything
else.
The designer at Random House, Kelly Hill, who worked on the book, is really good.
There you go.
You know, for picture books, that's so important. I've been so lucky so far in that. So
that might be part of what I was getting at, too. And knowing there's always so many hands that make a picture book, certainly not just the names on the covers, but the how well the type is set, the way your eyes travel across the page, the color is nice, the trim size is nice. There's just everything about it feels like this is exactly the way a book should be made.
There's so many elements to making up a picture book, and I'm really just sort of learning this as I go along. I was a reviewer for a long time. I wrote for a newspaper, and you know, I did a lot of children's reviews, and I would, you know, go through the format where you give the name of the book and the publisher and the number of pages, and I would sit and count the pages, and it didn't dawn on me that I kept coming up with 32, right? And I have to learn things the hard way, it seems. And so trim size is something that I'm really interested in now. What it means, what the trim size is, you know, all these things that go into it.
I still don't have the full like understanding of why trim sizes sometimes are the way they are or not. I get that paper comes a certain way or that cutting it happens a certain way, but I always just tend to feel like, no, there's some books that feel more comfortable when they're this size or that size.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that the designer and the editor made a choice with this Isadi is to make it the same trim size as the Henry books that Julie and I have done together.
Yeah, okay. That.
And so it's consistent, a series with those, but it fits nicely on the shelf, which is another little gift.
I could picture that too, yeah. I always like to when it's... There are some books that are like... some books are very tall, and it's lovely that they're very tall, but then they don't always fit on your bookshelf, and then you have to do the thing where you lie them down on their spine.
Yeah,
and
it's
that,
frustrating.
yeah, but so this is nice to have it be what it is. I have to say, I can't get away from the idea that the cover could have had a bag over Sadie's head, and they just had like it would have changed the entire tone. Like, this is Sadie.
I
Aww, poor
know, I
kid.
know. She would have been so Charlie Brown.
Can't stop it. It's hilarious. Oh my word.
There were a few other things too. I can't remember what else she had on her head. We went through a number of options, but
Oh
I'm happy that Julie came up with this.
That's
Thank God for
hilarious.
Julie.
Thank God for Julie is right. Oh my word. Well, I'm glad that it's out and it's around, and I'm even more pleased to see too that you've got other stuff coming out and this. So, okay. This is Sadie. I'm going to move on from This is Sadie. I love This is Sadie. I think that I could probably just loop that though, and you'd get the point. I and part of it, I think that there's this quality to it, to be fair with myself, that I think I can't quite articulate why I love it as much as I do, and I almost don't want to speak the magic out of it. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to try to
It's
over-explain it. There's something that is just for me in there, like you were saying, almost, that I feel like I just want to love this for what it is.
I think you either do or you don't, and some people won't, and that's fine. And people have said, different things about it.
That's okay. The
It's
people that don't love this book are wrong, so it's all right.
Yeah, that's okay. Too bad for them. But generally, the response to it has been really nice. I've really enjoyed the response to this book. It's been a pleasure.
Sarah, it was really exciting for me to see your next book series. I know, having talked to you now prior to recording, that you're aware that I have an almost 1-year-old, and your next book. This is your next book, right? This is the next one that'll come out. You Are One.
You Are One comes out in March, and then
Yeah.
You Are Two comes out later this year, September, I think.
Okay.
And then You Are Three comes out next March. So we've got three of them rolling out as fast as the artist can produce them. And it's Karen Claussen who's doing them. And
Karen
it's her
Claussen.
first foray into picture books. And so
That's I
I'm
was trying
really
to look up
excited.
Karen, right? For all that I loved her art, I was like, who is this person? Her stuff is
She's been
cool.
working in editorial and
Yes.
fashion, and she did one book with the Folio Society. She did an edition of Breakfast at Tiffany's, of all things,
Oh,
which
cool.
is really fantastically beautiful. But I just love her work. I'm just so happy to be doing these books with her.
What is up with you getting to work with like the coolest artist people?
I am spoiled. I am so
No
spoiled.
doubt you are.
Yeah. And I've got another book coming in the fall with Chen Lang, and it's really amazing. It's
Oh.
really so beautiful.
Oh man. We're totally gonna stay friends so I can peek at that. I mean, more
It's
for that, but also so I can peek at that.
really interesting working with different artists. Having done four books with Julie, it's sort of got to be, this is what I do now, is I do books with Julie. And This is Sadie, I really wrote for Julie. It was sort
Oh.
of my gift to her because it was sort of exploring what I knew she could do and pushing her to do a little bit more. And I think, she's grown so much in the time that we've been working together and that she's been doing books with other people. I know you talked to her and Laurel Snyder.
With Swan. Oh my word. That book is gorgeous.
I know, isn't it fantastic? And Julie's got another book this year. When Green is Most Beautiful. She's got another one coming later on that she's doing on her own again.
What is the one this year? Tell me again.
This year, When Green Becomes Tomatoes,
Oh yes,
it's
I've seen it. I got a copy of it. It's Poems. Yeah, it's a beautiful book.
And then Julie's got another book on her own coming,
Oh.
back with Simply Red again. That's going to be, just amazing. So I got into a routine of working with Julie and doing things, with her in mind. And so now to open things up and start working with other illustrators, and I've got two, three, four that I'm going to be working with over the next couple of years.
Wow,
So it's
congratulations.
really interesting to me because I have to sort of, reframe things in my mind because I don't quite know what's going to come back. And so
Yes.
it's pushing me to work a little bit harder, I think.
Well, so this book, You Are One, is so wonderful in the way that it, I mean, as a parent to read this, And also to read it with my 5-year-old and my wife. We have this wonderful story time where we're all just in my son's bed together. And to read, I've talked about this on recording before, but to all be in one bed together, trying to prop an FNG over your head as the folded and gathered pages sort of rain down on you is amazing. But to in this way, I mean, your book almost to summarize how I've reacted to the story and what the story means to me, it in so much is almost a scrapbook of what happens throughout that child's first year. From I mean, your voice here is so beautiful. Let me read an excerpt again.
You're gonna read me another story.
I'm going to. This is story time with Matthew Winner reading to the authors. Now that you are one, you are trying all kinds of new foods. Some you like to eat, some you would rather wear. You have perfect little teeth now, and you did work hard to get them. You have learned how to ask for things. When you want a story, you pick up a book. When you want to be held, you lift up your arms. Sarah, this voice that you've established is, I mean, I know you know this, but it's speaking both to the child and also to the parent, to the person reading to the child. And that, I felt an immediate closeness to you because I felt like you understood my year with my child. And it to have Karen's art is just, I mean, it's so beautiful.
It's hard to describe. It's so different from anything else in a way. Yeah, it looks, because it's very contemporary, it's very modern, but it's also very warm without being saccharine or too sweet. Like, babies are very, very hard to draw, you know? And the fact that she can make those faces so perfect, but then bring in these sort of elements of fine art.
Yes.
Art where it does, you know, these sort of interesting graphic things.
The faces look,
to me, is fantastic.
I think so too. The page after page, and if you study it, you know it's not, but the faces look as though they were photos that she painted over.
The level of high realism is really fantastic.
Yes.
And it works so well, like the picture of the baby who's teething, and you just,
it's
so real.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is, it's like you're looking at somebody's photo album, right? The sort of, the memories that you're compiling yourself, your Instagram pictures of your baby, or whatever.
Yes.
It's very much that sort of feeling for me, at the same time as being kind of open and universal, because it's not just one child, it's this variety of babies, and they're all, you know, appealing in their own baby ways.
It's beautiful. The colors are striking. It's she's got colors in here that you just don't often see. It's clear that she has a new eye coming into these picture books, that you've got this greens and yellows. That palette. They just feel, maybe that also plays with the feeling of these being photos, knowing that they're not, but the colors feel like tint colors from, you know, ages ago. And that quality there is just really striking. It's really, really, I wouldn't be surprised either to find out that these sorts of colors up against each other, the contrast that they're creating is also engaging for our young children to look at.
I would think so, that high contrast. It's like, for a while, everything was black and white for babies.
Yes.
And this is sort of, you know, continuing on from that and mixing it with sort of the impulse towards pastels and colors that are pretty for babies. These are pretty, but in sort of a new, interesting kind of way. You
know,
it's very boutique-y sort of book.
Boutique-y is a very kind word. I was also looking for a kind word and was going to say, like, these are books for hipster parents in a really good way. Like, these are just parents.
That's okay. Hipster babies need books too.
Oh, no doubt. No. And like, these are books that I think will appear in stores. These will be like Crate and Barrel will have like these books by all their baby section
because I think they're not just books, they're objects. You know, I think they're beautiful enough that they are, you know, sort of things that you would want to put in your perfect,
your
curated little living room.
Yeah. These are sort of beautiful art books that happen to also be really beautiful picture books.
Yeah. And that was all the idea of Karen Borsma, as the editor that I worked with on these, and she's at Owl Kids, and she's really smart, is Karen. And the series was basically a commission. I did it, you know, at her request.
She
wanted to
ask,
make something sort of new and different looking for baby books, and I I think she's really done it, you know?
Because the idea of coming on and doing baby books was a bit of a curiosity to me until I read it and went, oh, of course, this is, but I'm even understanding it the wrong way.
It was a bit of curiosity to me too.
Yeah, but,
you know, but I signed up and then I thought,
but then you signed up for it and look, she knew you, she knew what you would bring to the table, and that this is good,
Sarah. It was interesting, and it was before This Is Sadie. It was on the basis of just, you know, reading the Henry books and seeing what they were about. And I think the sort of common thread through the Henry books and the baby books is maybe that sort of fondness. There's a fondness in the voice,
yep.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And what I like about the way the direct address works in the baby books is that it's the parent talking to the child. And I'm sort of, you know, insinuating myself into that conversation just because it's so wonderful. You know, that those years that you spend reading books to your children, they're fantastic, you know? There's nothing nicer.
I completely agree. And I was blessed to have at least one of our two babies. We'll see how the other one grows up. Who just wants me to read the greatest variety of books possible.
That's good. That's better than the same one again and again.
I've never had that. But I also have had, then I can attest that when we do read a book a second or a third time, it's really, really special, because that's just not how he consumes anything. So to have that is really special. And this one we actually read a couple times, despite pages being silly like that.
Falling out, yes.
Because,
well, that's nice.
Because Jonah felt like it was important that we read it to Julia. And
well,
so
see,
I wanted
that's
to...
wonderful. And you're going to hit the stage where your older child is reading to your younger child. And
yes.
You know, something else again.
Yes. So that's, I'm glad
you're involved
in this. You
hit whole new levels of bliss with that one.
I mean, really. Oh, boy. It's, yeah, okay, I'm going
to
call
it. And the other thing I found is both my boys will read to me. You know, they still will.
Oh.
And, you know, that's a gift to have somebody read to you. You've been reading to me tonight. It's a gift.
I completely agree. Well, I don't agree that I'm a gift to you reading, but hopefully I've done your work justice. I just can't help myself. I want to call it out and say that from the way that you talk about the people you've worked with, and the people involved in the book, it's clear that you are not only a very kind soul, but you have a lot of love for the people that you work with, and that pours through in your story, Sarah. Your words, the words that you select, are so gentle and welcoming, and they're just the right words, but I like the voice that I like your writing voice a lot.
Well, I never knew, you know, I spent a lot of years doing various things. I've written just about every form that you can imagine, and I never really realized how much I was going to love writing picture books. If I knew, I would have started a lot sooner, because it's been a tremendous gift in the people that I've worked with, you know, the artists and the editors and my agent now who came to me through the picture books. It's just been these relationships that I've built around the books have been fantastic, but also the sense that I get, and I get, you know, letters from mothers or sometimes children or fathers or, you know, people, the consumers of the book, and to be invited into somebody's imaginative world that way is just unbelievable. You know, I can't believe I get to do this. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's, well, we're blessed to have you. I always think that it's amazing to see the way people are called into books, but then also the way that you get to have readers give you and parents give you that feedback on what you're writing. I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing. It's a wonderful thing. And I can't wait to see all this other stuff you have coming out. My goodness.
Oh, yeah, there's lots coming. I've got a book called Blue Moon with Ashley Crowley coming next year. Yeah, next year. That's going to be beautiful. He is amazing. He's so good. He's a policeman from Sussex, and he paints these fantastic pictures. And, you know, I got put together with him in this way that was slightly improbable to me. You know, how you end up making something with somebody else is really, you know, another interesting part of picture books,
yes.
You know. And so I'm working with him. I'm working with Kennard Pack on a book about grandmothers. It's coming out in, you know, 2 or 3 years, 2018, I think, maybe. which seems a long way off, and I'm going to have to wait for that, but I'm really excited about it. And so it's really interesting to see, the directions that books can take you. All these new people that are coming into my life, and the new images, the new sort of book children that are going to be born of it is
Yeah.
really something to look forward to.
I'd imagine what a cool thing too, as an author who does not illustrate, to get to have your words take on such different looks because of getting to work with so many different people that way.
I know it's this thing that I really can't do that, somehow I get to carry around in the world and say, this is mine.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Well, Sarah, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you tonight, and I'm so thankful that our paths connected, because my word, I've been carrying around this Sadie since forever, just wearing that like I would a heart on my sleeve. And I'm just so thankful to see not only that book reaching new readers, but also these great books that you have coming down the line. We're really, I'm grateful for our readers to have you in their lives.
Well, thank you, Matthew. I'm incredibly grateful to you for taking this time and giving so much attention to something, that matters so much to me. It's nice to know what matters to somebody else as well.
Well, Sarah, before I let you go, I'm going to ask a question of you that I ask all the guests. And I have a feeling that the response is going to be something of great love, knowing what I've known from you already. So I'm assembling an all-star kidlit dream team kickball tournament, and I would love to know what one person, alive or past, from the kidlit world you would want on your team and why.
Well, see, I had to think about this one, but I didn't have to think very hard. And I'm going to ask Astrid Lindgren because
Oh, that's so good.
I get so happy
Wow.
just looking at pictures of her. I think she was more alive than most people are in her lifetime. And I think if you called her up on, a psychic telephone and asked her to come
Yeah.
back from the dead and play kickball, she'd be there in a
Hippie.
minute,
Oh, could
in
you
a
imagine?
heartbeat. Yeah, she's fantastic.
And with anyone to write a character with the spunk that Pippi had, it's just,
We've been rereading the Pippi Longstocking books, and they're wonderful. There's so much joy in them.
Oh yeah,
It's really nice.
one of the a collection of Pippi comic strips from republished from whatever
Yeah, Drowning
archive.
Quarterly has just published a
Yes.
collection of the comics. Yeah.
I reviewed, it was one of my first reviews for SLJ, and I would just remember being my love being reignited for Pippi because of just being required to review it. I was like, oh my
Yeah.
word, I forgot how much I love this.
Well, see, that's nice. That's a nice thing about, working in books means that things come to you, maybe
Yeah.
when they should.
It's a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing when the right books come to you at the right time. How about it?
Yeah, exactly.
On that note, thank you so much again for your time this evening, Sarah, and for the work you're doing for our readers.
Well, thank you, Matthew. Take care, and I'm so happy to do this with you.
Let's Get Busy is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland, and by All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton and The Best Book Ever This Week. Our theme music is by Blue Ducks. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate Let's Get Busy on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that is a very good thing indeed. Next up on Let's Get Busy, Jess Keating shares the story behind Pink is for Blobfish. And later in the week, Daniel Miaris talks about Surf's Up, his newest picture book written by Newbery medalist Kwame Alexander, and also Float, a picture book that moved so many of us in 2015. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtimes a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.